Hey everyone, this is Isaac Maddox, and I'm the pastor of Activate Church, and this is our podcast. Remember, you can subscribe to our podcast and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. I hope this message blesses you, encourages you, builds your faith, and I hope you enjoy the message.
I'm glad that you said Melbourne and not Melbourne. Not that it's bad to say Melbourne, but it's just so funny to me. I guess it's kind of like me saying like, yeah, Oregon. You'd be like, yep, kind of, not really though. good try. Hi! I'm a little bit different from Isaac and Jim, I suppose. A young lady is coming to talk to you about Jesus. It's a little funny, but I'm very honored. Thank you so much. And I love, thank you for what you said, Mike. That's really nice. I'm going to talk to you today about, well, the title of my sermon, if you will. It's called, What Now? we've talked a lot about, over the past couple of weeks, Pastor Isaac has been talking about speaking through Romans and 1 John about us being Jesus as the body of Christ and how it's not through works, but it's only through Christ, and it's just Christ in us that helps us live life and do the things and to be more like him. And so I'm going to talk to you today about, like, what now? I know we've talked a lot about the idea of all of the things, but I'm going to give you some just an idea of a practical way that we can be Jesus to people, or at least practical ways that I've found that I'm trying to be Jesus. Sometimes it's hard to relate to, even though he was a man, it's like, okay, so 2,000 years ago, Israel, carpenter, 30-year-old man, can't really relate from Australia as a 21-year-old girl, but anyway, so I'm going to talk to you today about that. I'm going to quickly pray, and then we'll start. Okay, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your church. We thank you that you died for us. And that it's only by you, and that we don't have to do works anymore, and we're not bound to religion or bound to sin anymore. And I thank you that you've come away and you've cleaned all of that up, and you've come inside us, and that you're living in us. And I pray that you'd be glorified this morning, that we would remember that it's all for you, all by you and all for you. And I pray that you'd get all the glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Okay, I have a photo of me and my sisters when we were little. So, I'm from Melbourne, Australia, which is south, in the south. This photo is really funny to me. This is the only one I could find, but we're all currently still addicted to Diet Coke. And I blame my mum, because look how young I am. The Coke can is like as big as me. I'm what? Yeah, the one that's me is... We have really jokey music kids. The one on the right, that's me. I'm the littlest. I'm the baby of the family. The first one on the left is Sarah, and then the middle one's Laura, and the third one's me. And I love this photo because it depicts all of our personalities exactly. Like, Sarah is just sort of like, yeah. And Sarah came for a while, if everyone ever met her. And then the middle one is Laura, who currently just finished a year in Singapore playing Marilyn Monroe. So she's an actor, as you can tell from that photo. You know. Oh my gosh, yeah. And then I'm just like, I don't know, the cheeky one, I suppose. Do you guys say cheeky? No? Okay, because I said this the other day to Jude, and he was like, what? I was like, don't be cheeky. He's like, what's cheeky? Well, I'm cheeky, and you can look up what that means, I guess. Yeah, so I'm from Melbourne, and I have the greatest testimony that you can have. I sort of grew up in church and had parents who loved me and let me make my own decisions, and I never really did anything bad. You know, my parents, my dad is an IT consultant, and so he was quite wealthy, and I got to go to a really good school, and you know what I mean? It's so funny. Sometimes we think testimonies, it's like, this is my life. I have the great testimony, the best testimony in the world. I'm like the living proof that the gospel's real, that it can work, that you can be happy forever, and you can grow up in church and be a pastor's kid and not be totally off the rails. That happens, right, PKs? My grandparents, my dad's parents are pastors in Melbourne still. They have a church called Grace Church in the northern suburbs of Melbourne. And all my aunties and uncles are pastors. And my dad was a missionary. He actually came here to Boise, Idaho when I was one. So I've lived here before for a year, which is kind of random, in Boise, Idaho. And I don't know how many of you met my parents, but this is a funny American-Australian joke, but they would always, before I came here, they would always warn me about America and be like, you know what, Leah, so America's like this. America has really bad coffee. I'm like, okay, 20 years ago in Boise, Idaho. It could be a little bit different. I don't know. but they came here and they were very pleasantly surprised. It's totally different, but I always love that. People are like trying to tell me how it is, and I'm like, yeah, two decades ago, Mum. It's totally different. But yeah, so I grew up in church and I've loved Jesus my whole life. Gave my life to God, I think, when I was like 5. I didn't really know what was happening, but I just wanted to follow Jesus, I guess. Got baptized when I was about 11 and always sought after good things, or was always seeking after what life was about and what we're supposed to do. And I'm a deep thinker. Is anyone a deep thinker? Like, you know, I don't know, the melancholic sort of personality, like over analytical and like everything's logical, and it's like you just, one person says one word and you're like, why did you say it like that? Why did you say it like that? Because that means that. And then what if you said it like this and you said you should have said that person? That's me. So I would sit in my room for a very long time and go, why am I here? What's the meaning of life? What am I doing? I always loved God, but I always found it really confusing, you know? And I heard a lot of sermons and did that sort of thing. Does anyone know the church Planet Shakers from Australia? It's got some music. Anyway, so I came from Planet Shakers. No, I didn't sing on the team. People ask me that, and I'm like, no. It's like a 5,000-person church. I'm really not that special. Anyway, so some practical ways to be Christ through my journey as a young woman growing up in Australia and having that deep sort of mind. I guess I always love to think about these sort of things, so I thought I might share it with you and hopefully you get something out of it. In Luke 2:52, it says Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with man. And Luke is the book that was written, the gospel that was written to highlight Jesus's humanity. Some of the other gospels were, you know, Matthew was to show that he was the Messiah, et cetera, et cetera. But Luke was to say how Jesus is human and just like us. And so it constantly says the Son of Man in the book of Luke. And I always thought that's so random. So Jesus is like 12 and he's like at the synagogue and he's talking to the leaders and you know, making them question and all this crazy stuff. And he's just full of wisdom for a 12-year-old. And then it's like 18 years of like, what? You ever wonder that? Like, what happened in 18 years? Like, he was just a carpenter. You just like the Messiah is just walking around like totally normal and just living life and not really, not doing his ministry yet because it wasn't, you know what I mean? He wasn't famous yet, or infamous rather, I suppose, for Jesus. But so thinking about those 18 years, he grew in wisdom and stature with favor and favor with God and man. And I was thinking about it. When he was 12, did he know he was God? I think it's funny that Jesus was a baby and a human. And I figured that the Bible actually alludes to the fact that Jesus wasn't aware of everything. You know what I mean? And that in his humanity, he was limited. So slowly he began to get this understanding of why he was here and what he was supposed to be doing. And his flesh started to realize his deity. You know what I mean? And so, if you haven't got it all figured out, don't worry, neither did Jesus. If you're wondering, why am I here? What am I doing? What's the purpose? I think what's so cool is that even Jesus went through this journey of finding out what I'm supposed to do and who I am and who God is. And he discovered, obviously, that he was his son and he was his father. But I'm going to go through a few points. So why did Jesus come to earth? There are many reasons. There are many, many reasons. And I have a lot of reasons written down here. Don't know if I'll get to all of them. But these are a few of the main ones. And so did anyone bring your Bible? I'm sorry about that because I'm going to read a lot of verses and you're not going to be able to turn in time. So you shouldn't have brought it. No, I'm joking. All right. Number one, He came to be a ransom for many, just as the Son of Man, and to serve, sorry. So just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. He came to save the world, John 3:17 and Luke 19:10. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. To preach the good news of the kingdom of God, Luke 4:43. But he said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that is why I was sent. To bring division. This is an interesting verse. Luke 12:51. Do you think that I came to bring peace on earth? No. I tell you, but division. I read that verse and was like, wait, what? Like, people, I think, often have this skewed view of why Christ came or what his mission was or what his personality was like. He says it right here. He didn't come to bring peace on earth like this hippie, I don't know, like Gandhi. We're all just going to be peaceful and it's all good, guys. He was like, nah, I'm going to make, later on in that verse, it says, I'm going to make fathers enemies of sons and sons and enemies. Yeah. Winston Churchill said, do you have enemies? Good. It means that you stood up for something at some point in your life. And I love that because it doesn't matter what it is. And I was talking to Jess and Mike about this actually, and we were saying, it depends what it is that you stand up for, but at least you did it. But you should always choose to stand up for the right things, but you will have enemies, unfortunately. He came to testify the truth. John 18:37. You are king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world to testify the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. He came to die and destroy Satan's power. Hebrews 2:14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil. Amen? Isn't that great? He shared in our humanity so his death could destroy Satan. To destroy the devil's work, 1 John 3:8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work, to fulfill the law and the prophets, Matthew 5:17. Do not think I've come to abolish the law or prophecy. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. John 10:10 says to give life. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. To become a high priest, Hebrews 2:17. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way. It's you and me. In order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. And to atone sin, Hebrews 2:17 as well, atone the sins of the people. To proclaim freedom for believers, Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recoveries, for the sight of the blind, to release the oppressed. To take away sin, but you know, 1 John 3:5, but you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Mark 1:38, he came to preach. Jesus replied, let us go elsewhere to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. And to call on sinners, Mark 2:17. On hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And as we've been doing this I Am Jesus series, I went through all those verses and thought, okay, Jesus said, as the Father sent me, now I send you. And I was like, it's really intense. Like, I don't know if I can do all of that. Thankfully, that's the point, that he came so that we didn't have to. And I know that's a very basic sort of gospel message, but I think it's powerful to understand in light of everything that Isaac's been talking about is the fact that Jesus actually was prophesied since the beginning of time and was able to do everything that we're not able to do in our humanity. Humanity was never supposed to atone for its own sin, and we were never supposed to be able to just be perfect and heal everyone and do everything at the same time. So Jesus came, and I think I was talking to Isaac about this. The verse that says, you will do greater things than I did. I don't know. I know it's kind of obvious, but I used to think that meant like, you know, some people take it as like, why aren't there miracles happening? You know what I mean? Like, why aren't people being raised from the dead and people just walking and being lame like Jesus did that? Like, we're supposed to be greater, right? I don't think it means like supernatural power or anything like that. But as a collective of people, there's now billions of Jesuses. Jesus was one man. This one man who had two hands and two feet and got up in the morning and brushed his hair and got dressed and had breakfast and went outside and looked at a tree and talked to his friends as God, but as human. Like, he did all of those things. I think sometimes it's so funny. Like, he'd sit there and just, like, be making a chair. Like, I don't know. It's so random. Like, God is so random. It's like, sometimes I'm like, no wonder the Jews were like, no, that's not the Messiah. Like, because why? Because he was sitting there, like, eating. And was like, yeah. It's like, but I think what's so cool about that is Jesus came as a human and became like us so we could become like him, which is like crazy. And I have no idea what kind of God would ever do that. But ours did. The one and only did. And I think it's so crazy. And I thought about then, all right, so if that's not my job, if I'm... Thankfully, Jesus died, and you know, thankfully, he destroyed the devil and took the keys of death and was like, "Heh, I win." And thankfully, he did all of that. So now, what are we supposed to do? Like, when I get up and I brush my hair, and I don't really brush my hair that much, and don't tell my mom I said that, and don't touch my hair. But you know, when I look at a tree or when I think something, how am I supposed to be like Jesus? Like every day, and sometimes we come to church and we hear sermons and it's like, you know, it's sort of hard to grasp the concept. It's like, yeah, that's all good. Like, I understand that Jesus died for me and I can be like him. But like, when I get up tomorrow and go to work, how do I do that? Like, you know what I mean? And I don't think there's any real answer. Please don't think that I'm like, this is doctrinal truth right here. This is what you should do. I don't. This is just my personal journey about how to do that. But I have a video to show. How many of you know the band Korn? Korn. Korn. Ah, it's so gross. I can't believe I say it like that. Korn. Anyway, Korn. The guitarist of Korn got saved, Brian Welch. Did you hear that? Yeah. I don't know if you knew that, but he got saved. He found Jesus. And I saw his testimony online and I was looking at it and I had this total, I wept when I first saw it, but I had this total epiphany of why I exist. And it's because people like him, I mean, he's a freaky looking dude. He really is. And you would never walk past him and probably think, like, I'm going to go talk to that guy. Like, you'd be scared. Let's be honest, okay? I'm all about being real, okay? I'm not perfect. I'm not like, I don't condemn anyone. I'll talk to anyone. No, I get scared too. I'm like, that dude's creepy looking. Like, he's wearing makeup and has got really long hair and tats everywhere and you think, I don't want to get stabbed or whatever it is. I know. You're all laughing because you think the exact same thing. Exactly. So I thought to myself, I think that is one of the keys that I found about Jesus is he would look at somebody like that and not have one ounce of like, Jesus can't be scared by like anything. Exactly. He can't ever be fazed by what we've done or what we look like or how many drugs we've taken or how many women we've slept with or how many times we've looked at porn or how many times we've been drunk. He's not fazed at all. And you know what the best thing is? He doesn't even care. I think that's what's so crazy about Jesus. And you might think, no, he cares, Leah. I don't mean it like he doesn't care, but that's why he died. So that I don't have to pay for all of that I've done. And it's so crazy. It doesn't make sense. It really doesn't. It really shouldn't. Sometimes I'm like, you know, again, over analytical. I'm like, why? Why would you do that? It's stupid. We're stupid. Why would you ever do that? Blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like arguing with God. And then I kind of feel God be like, just remember, it's a good thing, Leah. Like, don't question it. You should probably just take it. Right. Okay. So I'm going to show this video, and it goes for like 7 minutes, but it's really powerful. It's this guy's testimony, Brian Welch. And just keep that in mind as you're watching it, to think that maybe somehow you would never think of talking to somebody like this, but this is the power of Jesus. Can we watch it?
In my head, I was like, okay, I'm going to accept Christ in front of everybody right now. Then I'm going to go home and snort drugs until I don't want to do them anymore. And that was my way of thinking. So I received Christ at the church. I went home, neglected my daughter, and put her in front of the TV. I remember I grabbed a $100 bill. I always used a $100 bill for some reason, pride or something. I chopped up my crystal meth, got it all smooth and powdery. And I snorted a big old line, and I held the bill, and I looked up, and I said, Jesus, if you're real like that pastor said, then you got to take these drugs from me. Come into my life. Come into my heart. And I just got quiet. I said, search me right now. Search my heart. And I stayed silent, and I said, you know I want to quit. You know I want to be a good dad for this kid. She lost her mother to drugs. And she's going to lose me if I don't quit. Amen. There's a high when you go on stage and you see all these people like just loving your music and loving you and stuff. And there's these girls and all these people going, worshiping me. When you see all those people just going nuts for you, it's like, you know, it puffs you up inside. You're like, you know, I'm important. That's where drugs can creep in, and, you know, cocaine or whatever, methamphetamines crept in, and it all came from after drinking for me and my friends. And it seems like fun in the beginning. It's a lie, because it turns around on you. It starts to wear on your personality, starts to wear on your relationships, and everything is affected by it negatively. Everything. There was a few times where life seemed good. My daughter, Janaea, she came into the world, and I was like, it was just such a euphoric feeling. I thought my life could just feel like that forever, you know? It was like it was spiritual. Just, I didn't know what was happening. I just felt so much love just fill my emotions. And I thought I was gonna be happy, but, I couldn't stay sober. I didn't know how. I hit rock bottom. I had swore that I would never do methamphetamines again, because I saw what it did to my child's mother. It just took her feelings away and made her leave her kid. I just wanted her dead. I wanted to kill her. I thought she was a scum of the earth, and you know, how could she do drugs like that and let the drugs win her like that? So I never was going to do meth again. I ended up with a everyday crippling addiction to methamphetamine, and everything that I said about my ex-wife came true for me. I sunk to the lowest gutter I could ever think of. I would spend time with my kid, and I would still be on it because I needed it to function. I'd get up in the morning, have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and snort meth, and then take her to school or whatever. It was just, I was a junkie. I started losing my mind. This guy would show up at my house with like a gun and stuff. And then I ran out in Europe, had my drug dealer just crazy send me drugs through the mail. I'd be tweaked out in my hotel room watching this package come from the U.S. It was just nuts. My life just was like spinning out of control. And Janaea had come out on one of the tours in the U.S. I just remember her skipping around the house singing one of our corn songs called Adidas.
All day I dream about sex.
And I'm like going, what am I doing? I'm a junkie. My daughter's singing All Day I Dream About Sex. And I'm gonna die. Father? My real estate broker, Eric, he said, Brian, I don't mean to be weird with you. I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but I felt the scripture like jump out at me. I've never done this before, you know, so I don't really know how to do this, but I felt like this would mean something to you. It's Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I remember all tweaked out. I looked up in the dictionary, weary. I looked up burdened, and I pulled the scripture apart, and I was like, oh, I'm weary and burdened, and I need rest for my soul. And I didn't know if it was real, but you know, they invited me to church a couple weeks later, and I had received Christ at the church. I went home, neglected my daughter, got it all smooth and powdery. Jesus, you got to take these drugs from me. Search me right now. Search my heart. Father, I felt so much fatherly love from heaven, and it was like, I don't condemn you. I love you. I love you. It was just love, love. And instantly, that love from God came into me. It was so powerful that the next day I threw away all my drugs, and I quit corn. I was like, I'm quitting corn, and I'm going to raise my kid, because my kid, like, I got the love from God coming to me, and then it came out of me to my kid. It changed me. My heart was changed like that, and I was like, Janaea, Daddy's going to be home with you all the time. I'm quitting my career. And her face lit up, and she's like, for me? You know, she felt so special, and God used her to save me, to save her life later on. My dream came true way more than I dreamt about. I made more money. I played bigger shows. I mean, houses, cars. I tried drugs. I tried sex. I tried everything to try to get pleasure out of this life. And I thought that I could fulfill my life with all this stuff by having my dream come true. And it came true, but it didn't fulfill it. When Christ came in, that feeling, he gives you the gift of understanding life, which is everything was created for Christ and by him, and we're created to be with him. And it's the most incredible feeling, because you're where you belong. And contentment is given to you in life because you don't have to look anywhere else. And you're exactly where you need to be. And the question about life is answered. I am Brian Head Welch, and I am second.
Yeah. Amen. Sometimes we think that Christianity is some, I don't know, come to church and read your Bible and sit and pray for 15 minutes and then just be a good person. But I think this video taught me that sometimes I think we need to look outside of ourselves and remember that the world is very different to many different people. And sometimes, white suburban sort of lifestyle can trick us. And people like that are so confusing and so far away from us, when really, they're just like totally hurting. And I was thinking about, if I wanted you guys to get anything from what I am saying today, it's that every single one of us have that feeling of like, I seriously just want to let you in on this, and this is being real again, is we all have that feeling of like when you see someone like that, or when somebody asks you to help them move. Oh, it's the worst, right? Or when somebody said, right? You're all laughing because you know it's true. I'm telling you, you're all just condemning yourselves. No, I'm joking. You all have that feeling of like when, I don't know, that person in the room comes up to you and starts talking to you, and you're like, it's like the last thing that I want to do right now. I want you to know that everybody has that feeling. And it's not about being condemned. You know what I mean? Like, I used to be sort of condemned by having that feeling, because I'm like, I'm not a good person. Oh my gosh, I'm so mean. Like in my head, I'm so mean. But I think maybe, just maybe, Christianity is the difference of a Christian is the person fighting that feeling. Most people don't fight that feeling. Most people will hear or see somebody in trouble and they'll be like, yep. The story of the Good Samaritan is a great example. Jesus is trying to show us that all your Jewish people will just walk past, or all the same people will walk past, but it is a Samaritan who, by the way, was absolutely detested in the culture. It was like enemy. And the point is, are you going to get down off your horse and help your enemy? Are you going to fight the feeling of, I don't want to do that and I don't want to say that? Or when your sister says something really annoying to you and you're like, I really, really want to call you a really mean thing right now. And I honestly think that most people give in and yell when maybe it's as simple as fighting that feeling. It's not spectacular, people. Christianity is not this spectacular thing where we all just get up in front of thousands and save everyone. And I think sometimes the church can make it seem like that's the point because of the way that we do it now. But Christians are not supposed to do extraordinary things, but Christians are supposed to do ordinary things in an extraordinary way. I'll say it again. Christians are not meant to be extraordinary in the eyes of the world, but meant to be ordinary people and do ordinary things in an extraordinary way. And that's what Jesus did. He was ordinary in a way, I mean, in a completely not kind of ordinary way, but he was a carpenter from a little town of Nazareth. But he changed history. And he was just like you and just like me. And all of this, you know, the fighting, the feeling, you know, it's like, let's not be timid people. You know, let's think before we speak and love always and die to yourself and pray often and think of other people and remember that, well, I guess Micah 6:8 always ties in what we're supposed to do wonderfully. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God? Be humble. Be kind. I know it's not some awesome message of, hey, but you know what I thought about in that entire video was his real estate agent. I mean, like, it's Brian Welch. Like, you know what I mean? It's not just like any Joe Blow. It's like, I'm talking to like a really, really famous rock star, and he had the courage to be, he's a real estate agent. He's a nobody. But look what he did. Because why? Because he was like, hey, dude, this is a really sweet verse. And I don't want to be like Brian Welch, because guess what? Thousands of people shouting your name doesn't do it for you. I want to be like the real estate agent. I want to change people like that. And so I guess my prayer today is that we would just be reminded that even though sometimes life seems ordinary, or sometimes it seems like, I just want to, you know, when it talks about being like Jesus, like we're all supposed to be like crazy awesome, right? And do all these crazy things. No, it's okay to just get up and go to work and watch TV and sleep and hang out with your family and you know, hang out with friends. And that's life, right? And come to church and do all of that. But my prayer is that we'd be extraordinary people. And we would never ever judge anybody or judge Christianity and make it something that it's definitely not. And remember that the power of Christ is exactly from that video. Jesus said, I don't condemn you, I love you. Let's be people like that. Amen. All right, why don't you stand up with me? We're going to sing this song. And I'll love you forever and I'll always sing, and the ruins coming to life. And if you've been a Christian for a while, maybe you haven't, maybe you're not a Christian at all. If you're not a Christian this morning, I pray that you would do exactly what Brian did. Just say, Jesus, I need you. Come into my life. Search me. Take away the things in my life that I don't want. Even if it is something like drugs, if it's intense like that, Jesus can do anything. He's not fazed by it. And if you've been a Christian for a long time, I pray that you would receive that love that you had when you first met Christ, or when Christ first met you and first filled you up with that kind of love, and to remember that vulnerability, and to remember that the need that we need him so much, and that everything in life that you can try and get pleasure out of will not give it to you. Such an easy thing to forget. I need money. I need to do this. I need to do this. I need fame. I want to be rich, and I want to get... No. You can do all of those things, but it will never, ever, ever fulfill you. But Jesus will never disappoint you. So Heavenly Father, we pray this morning, and I pray that you would remind us of the things that you've done for us, that you came to restore and to heal and to deliver the sick and to make the blind see. And God, I pray we humble ourselves, and we know that we are those blind, sick people, and we just really need you. And I pray that we would be ordinary people who do extraordinary things in our life and in this city. And I pray as a collective of people that we'll do greater things than you could, because we want to be like you, and we need you, and you're in us. And so as we join as a church, I pray that we would save this city and not be fazed by anybody's problems, and not be fazed by bad words or by people's drunkenness or people's addictions to drugs, but rather that we would see them like you do, and we would have a heart like you do. And I pray that you would fill every person in this room up with your love, with the love that surpasses understanding, with the love that doesn't judge, the love that doesn't condemn us, that perfect holy love that you gave, that you give always constantly to us. And I just pray that you would remind us of why we love you and why we're here and what we're doing on this earth and what you mean to us. In the mighty name of Jesus, let's sing this song this morning. And
it's come to life.
Amen.